I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Michael K is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K Show.
Michael K is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K Show. We thank you for joining us on a beautiful Wednesday in New York City. It's April 24th, 2024. So it's 42424, which would mean that even the other way, it's 42424. Am I right?
That's
four,
right.
424.
2424.
Two, the other way would be 42424.
Huh?
Huh?
Look at you.
Now, what do you do with that information?
That's why the name's on the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I think you run with it. I think you, what do they call that? Word that was a palindrome. A statistical palindrome.
Yeah. Excited.
I'm good.
You're good. Okay.
Yeah,
the Rangers win.
Yes.
Okay. But it wasn't easy, Don. And it was sweaty. And it was nerve-wracking. It was a physical game. I give them credit because they played physical. And the last 2.5 minutes, everybody just held their breath, and the Rangers held on for a 4-3 victory.
Yeah.
But this Ranger team is tough. It's not a finesse team at all.
No, it's not. And they just got to stay out of the penalty box. I mean, you saw Washington's power play get better and better as the season went on. And if not for those power play goals, especially the Wilson deflection midway through the third period, they destroy them. But it just shows you how you always have to be engaged. You can't let your guard down. You can't take dumb penalties. And I really thought the Rempe roughing penalty early in the second period was one that he would probably like to have back, and ends up leading to a goal. These are the things you just can't do, even against what I think is the worst playoff team of the 16 that are in the Washington Capitals. They've done a great job on Ovechkin, just one shot so far in these playoffs in the first two games. And now you go to Washington for games 3 and 4, and I would suggest that they take care of business, because it looks like Carolina's got the Islanders number here after the way they won game 2. So that's going to be the team you're going to take on in the next round. And if they're going to sweep or win in 5 games over the Islanders, then you want to try to do the same thing. And you can. You're superior to this team. So don't make the mistakes. They're going to let them back into the contest. That's why Joe Torre always said game 3 is the biggest game, because you're either going to go up 3-0 or somebody's going to take a 2-1 series lead. And in this case, if the Capitals win, that's 2-1. Now you talk about sweaty. Now you got to win a road game to just go back up 3-1. You don't want to mess around. Take the 3-0 lead on Friday. Take care of business in 4 or 5 games. Keep pace, because you're going to need everything you have to be able to beat this Carolina team in the second round.
All right, so let me pick this apart, because Ovechkin's so important to them. And as you said, in 2 games, he has one shot on goal, which is almost unbelievable. So is that a case of, like, Jalen Brunson struggling in the first 2 games was because of defense, or is he off? Are the Rangers all over Ovechkin, or is he just off? Well, I know he's 38 years old.
But he also had 8 goals in the first 43 games of the season, and he finished with 31.
Right.
So he was hot in the second half of the season. But he's a stationary guy at this point, Michael. He's going to play his piece of the ice, and they're going to have to try to move him around, because the Rangers, I think, have done a great job shutting him down. They're not a great offensive team. McMichael's a nice player. I think TJ Oshie's seen better days. He's still a decent offensive player. Wilson is, I think, a better offensive player than advertised because of all the histrionics he brings to the table. But this is a team that had, like, the least amount of shots on goal during the regular season. Their power play struggled for most of the year, But at any given moment, you give them an opportunity, they could take advantage. But the Rangers have really, even strength, have shut this team down. Their power play woke up a bit in game two. So just make sure you don't commit any dumb penalties. These officials seem to be calling everything at times. And then at times, they're not seeing anything. As Zibanejad gets tripped early in the game, they don't see it. But then little ticky-tack fouls, they decide to call. So just mind your P's and Q's, man. Do not let this Capitals power play beat you. And it almost did last night, but they're still in good shape.
Now, was it Panarin who laid out a guy?
No, he laid out Oshie.
Which is unbelievable, because that's not Panarin. It showed everybody else, look, if he's going to fight for himself, I mean, he laid the guy out.
And there's always that circle around guys like him. Oh, he's a finesse guy. And hey, listen, he's not going to be throwing his body around a lot. But in that particular moment, he caught Oshie. And they reviewed it. There wasn't a penalty. Now, was the hit the head hit? Yes. But it was determined that it wasn't targeted. Oshie's kind of leaning for the puck. Gave him a nice shoulder to the chest. Knocks Oshie out of the game for a little bit. No penalty. As a matter of fact, McMichael took a roughing penalty because of the reaction to Panarin's hit. And that's the only penalty that actually took. And the Rangers were able to take a power play. They didn't take advantage of it, but they got a power play out of it. That's the kind of way you have to play in the playoffs. There's not going to be the same amount of room. They're going to try to get under your skin, throw your body around, be physical. And I don't know how much of the game you watched, Michael, but as much as they want to play physical, they're still a finesse team. And you saw that shorthanded goal by Miller, just how unreal the vision is from Mika Zibanejad.
Yeah, even Miller said that. He couldn't believe that Zibanejad saw him.
There are times, now listen, it happens sometimes where, especially with Panarin, like there'll be a pass and be like, what the heck was he looking at? But then there are times it's like, he's got eyes in the back of his head. And that was a huge shorthanded goal. And the way the game turned out, they ended up being the game-winning goal because of the Wilson power play. So they're extremely skilled. But in these playoffs with so little room to roam, you got to be able to throw the body around. You got to be physical. You got to play well defensively. And that's exactly what this team has done so far in these playoffs all year long. And I know it was sweaty, but guess what? Knicks found that out in game two as well. Not every game is going to be a walkover. Not every game is going to be easy. And I thought Laviolette somebody asked Laviolette the question. I think it was Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Like, how important is it to face that early in the playoffs? Like, you know you're going to have games like that if you're going to win a cup.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it good that you won the game, but maybe you did have to squeeze one out, as you said, get a little sweaty early.
Okay.
And then it work out for you, and you know, hey, we can handle it. If it ever gets close, we could take care of business. So I thought last night was a really fun game, although you seem to be bothered by sweaty, Peter, but I think the fans were sweating. It was more palms than pits.
It was the back-to-back. It was the combination of word choices, back-to-back, squeeze one out, sweat. There was a lot happening at one time. I was trying my best to follow.
Childish stuff, comes from him, really.
Words are weapons, but now words have almost become like pieces of art that have to be appreciated and viewed and analyzed.
You know what, though, Don? The whole show is already up for grabs, in my opinion. Let's just see where this thing goes.
I can't believe the how much that carried on past the show and how many people side with Peter.
Well, not the people I called in.
Well, there's so many issues there.
What are the issues?
The people who call generally are yes people, and the yes people always love you because you're the almighty man who can. Whereas the radio listeners who might be a little more apt to see where I'm coming from, they don't call.
And the yes viewer
with the rotary phone
doesn't like Peter.
In general.
No.
The people that you're talking about, the yes viewer,
the Michael Sycophants
show that are Michael K. Sycophants, do not like you.
That is often true, and they don't like when I disrespect their hero as they see it.
I am never, ever in 22 years been treated like a hero on the show. I'm treated like a zero.
That's why I don't understand why they get so offended. Like, I should treat, like,
maybe that, it's a continuing offense to them.
So they, but don't they realize part of your a charm is that you don't act like some deity who can't be talked to by your colleagues?
Things are changing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy.
You're going to be the one who goes to management and says,
guy. You're not.
No. I'll take care of it. Who's management?
I'll get called aside and say, you know, Michael didn't love what happened the other day. He wasn't comfortable.
Right. I would be the one calling you aside. I refer to myself in third person. Yeah, Michael didn't like that.
Just so you know, Michael wasn't comfortable. Yeah.
So the final 2.5 minutes, Don, that's the sweatiest part. Oh. They pulled the goalie. They had the man advantage. And, I mean, the ice was tilted in Washington's favor, and the Rangers held them off.
I brought this up on my Game Misconduct podcast.
Well, you can get podcasts.
You get podcasts. Yeah. And EJ was our special guest, great EJ Raddick.
Great EJ Raddick.
And I thought that's it was a mistake by Carberry that he pulled the goaltender so early with 2:48 to go because there's an offensive faceoff. Because the Rangers had won 60% of the faceoff. So you lose the draw, Rangers throw it down into the empty net. Now the game's over and there's still like 2.5 minutes to go. It felt like it was too early. But EJ explained it very well. It's like you can't get caught up in how much time is left. It's an offensive faceoff. And if you win the draw, you now have all this time. And it worked out. They win the faceoff, and the Rangers couldn't clear it. I mean, yeah. There was how many times did I see Carlson put his glove up, knock the puck down at the blue line, and create more opportunities? And, boy, it felt like if there was just maybe 10 more seconds. Because I don't know if it was in the call, because you're just kind of holding on. Kenny had the call on radio, and, of course, Sam on television. I think it was Wenberg had the puck pinned against the boards. And the one thing that I've kind of taught myself doing play-by-play is never predict what's going to happen. Like, oh, it's over, like, before it's actually over.
Like what the Sixers announcers did.
Right, but that's almost, like, way too much. I'm just saying, like, well, how can they center the puck with a second left? Well, you can. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how much can happen in hockey in such a short period of time. So if it's pinned behind the net against the board, and it's like a 1 second left, and like you're saying, it's over, and then a pass goes to the front. There's Pacioretty. If he's able to gather that up and or be able to get a one-timer off, there might be enough time for him to score. So if there was an additional few seconds, you know, maybe they would have scored. So I think that they were very fortunate to not have to go to overtime last night.
Were you a little surprised that the Capitol coach kind of aired out Ovechkin after the game? I mean, called him out, said he's playing poorly, essentially said that. I mean, this is Alex Ovechkin.
And this is Spencer Carberry.
Yeah.
This is not, Mike Keenan or Scotty Bowman.
It's Carberry.
But it's right, and Ovechkin is coachable.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Peter Laviolette said that he's a great guy. There's never that I've ever noticed. Now, maybe somebody that's a Capital fan could cite examples that I didn't know where he's not coachable. Hey, if you can call out Ovechkin, you can call everybody out. And he's clearly towards the end of his career. And when he was held with no shots on goal in game one, it was only the fourth time in his career he had been held without a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back and you only get one shot. It's hard to believe that they're going to be able to win this series without him. So if you think he can take it, and he seems like a player that can take it, he can be the Phil Simms to what Bill Parcells was trying to do. Like, hey, if they can call out Ovechkin, they can call anybody on this team.
Mm-hmm. As long as he can take it.
But also, take a look at their blue line. I mean, Dylan McIlrath is playing. I mean, this is a Ranger castoff. They're literally playing their 10th, 11th, and 12th defenseman in the organization because they're so depleted with injuries. So there's a lot of reasons, and they're not a very good team. But if I can call out my best player, who needs to be their best player to win the series, I guess it's worth it as long as you know that you're still going to have him at the end of the day, because this is Spencer Carberry's, you know, first year as a head coach in the National Hockey League, and he's going after a player that, when it's all said and done, is going to score more goals than anybody in the history of the sport.
Now, I kind of feel good. The Knicks are up 2-0 before they do game 3 in Philly, and the TNT guys kind of parroted what we said. What is the purpose of this 2-minute review? What does it do? What does it do for you? And I thought of another angle of it, too. So for those that don't know, toward the end of the show, the 2-minute review came out. And they said, you know, they missed a call on Hart. They missed a call against Brunson that, you know, they should have been called for fouls against Maxey during the inbounds. They missed the Nick Nurse timeout attempt. You're in bed with the gambling companies. Well, why are you admitting that you were wrong? The people that had bets on that, if they had Philly on the money line, they lost their money on bad calls.
I get what you're saying, but when is transparency ever a bad thing?
When you can't do anything about it.
But if you don't say anything.
Right.
Let's just say, hey, that's just the way it goes. Your silence is acceptance. So your silence is saying that I'm defending the call, that I believe that those were the right calls. If you don't defend, you either come out and say that they're the right calls, or you're silent, then people are just going to assume you think they're the right calls, or you say, no, listen, our bad. We messed it up. Now, do I think there should be something attached to it? Meaning, okay, look at all the things that were wrong. Those officials aren't going to work the rest of the series. Or they're going to be disciplined in some way because we can't have these kind of mistakes in a big spot. But don't you want your league to own the mistake rather than deny the mistake and then lead further fuel like, oh, they're never going to do anything about it. They're blind. They're sycophants for their officials. They're telling you officials made the mistake. We all know you can't go back and change it. Mm-hmm. But at least admitting it kind of makes you feel like, all right, the NBA is on top of this.
See, I don't feel the same way you feel. I just don't. I think it's like rubbing salt in the wound. Now, right, as I said yesterday, what I would do, I pull the officials aside, you got these wrong. Well, this can't happen.
But that has to be happening.
But in a game, that has to be happening. But then you're telling the public, so people in Philadelphia are furious. People that bet the Sixers on the money line are furious. I mean, I don't know what kind of like parlay bets there was, what exotics they had. People lost money because of this, and there's nothing that you could do,
but
and you're admitting the mistake.
But I don't. You're bringing gambling into it. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
It has everything to do with it because the leagues are in bed with the gambling sites. So, I mean, you're trying to say, well, we were wrong, but you can't do anything, so people lost their money.
But even if they don't admit that there were a mistake, people see the non-calls.
But now the league is saying we were wrong.
What leads to more impropriety? Them admitting, yeah, listen, these are the mistakes that were made in the final 2 minutes, or I didn't see any mistakes.
I'd rather not know my wife is cheating on me.
Right, then find out when it's too late.
Right. Well, what can you do?
But I think the whole reason they have the 2-minute report is it's already known. We can't do anything about it. But now there is documented proof that mistakes were made.
But to what end? What does it do?
Well, it's probably going to fall down on these officials.
I don't think. I mean, Angel Hernandez continues to work. You can be a bad official, a bad umpire.
Because baseball and the union, I don't know what the heck's going on with everything.
The NBA has a strong officials union.
So what would you? Sorry, I get it. So Major League Baseball is silent about Angel Hernandez, right? I mean, they never call him out. They never send it saying, yes, he was wrong here.
But there are websites that tell you how wrong they are.
Well, my eyes can tell me how bad an umpire
he is. Yeah, but your eyes could be seeing through orange and blue glasses. So, I mean, before you could say, well, those are bad calls if you're Sixers fans. But now they're coming out and saying, by the way, we blew that call. Okay, now what? Well, what'd you just do? We blew the call. So what? We're still down 2-0.
But you're still down 2-0 whether they admit it or not. Okay, so that's we know that. There's nothing we can do about it.
But don't you think admitting it makes you feel worse?
It may make you feel worse, but what the league is trying to say is if we don't say anything, then we're telling you that there was no impropriety. There was nothing wrong.
No.
Our officials are perfect.
As long as you don't have a 2-minute report, you're not admitting that they were right. You're just not saying anything. It's private business.
And then people
behind the scenes.
And then people may notice that a certain officiating group doesn't get used in a big spot. Like, you may find out that they were obviously disciplined because they were taken off of a series. But I'm with Michael.
When Shaq and Barkley both said, it's terrible to have this thing come out.
They're just acknowledging they got everything wrong. Nothing you can do about it. But now you go into it knowing you were cheating. And it sort of invalidates the Knicks with their win, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't see the wisdom of it. I know what Don's saying. When is transparency bad? Transparency is bad when you can't do anything about it.
But I do think that now there is admission of guilt. It will eventually fall on the officials because now the league doesn't have your back. They admit you made a mistake. So what I would hope is that if it piles up to this point, you will start to see officials not working playoff games, be pulled off of series when they're not very good. Now, why Angel Hernandez continues to work, God only knows. But because Major League Baseball never admits he makes a mistake, I'm left to assume that Major League Baseball doesn't think he's a bad umpire. But the NBA is telling you our officials screwed up. Can't do anything about it, but we're at least admitting they screwed up. Now, what I hope happens when these things begin to pile up, that those officials don't work big games or eventually lose their jobs. And I do think that if that's going to have to accumulate, won't it?
I don't know. Again, we don't know that. All we know is that they put out a 2-minute report for what reason. Like, I was in a car accident in January, right? So they did the policeman did a report, and it was the other guy's fault. And you know what happened? My insurance has not to pay. His does. Right. So there's a ramification. There's no ramification for what the NBA does.
I don't know that. I'm sure they get evaluated, and these two-minute reports are probably a way that they get evaluated, for sure. But, you know, same thing happened in the NFL. It's been happening in the NFL for years. It's not an evaluation as much as they'll apologize to a team. I remember there was one time the Giants were playing the Raiders. There was a fumble at the end of the second quarter that they said wasn't a fumble. And then I remember, because I was covering the Giants at the time, like that Monday, Jim Fossil like showed a letter saying, I got an apology from the NFL that should have been a fumble.
Right. So what would Charles K., my dad, say?
Sorry, doesn't fix the line.
I knew it.
Doesn't fix the
line. But I guess it just puts the NFL out there to say, hey, we're watching, we're paying attention, and when we mess up, we're going to admit our screw up. Now, I'm with you. I'd like to know what happens. Are these officials evaluated? Do they get let go? Do they get suspended? Do they get taken off a playoff? I would think the best officials work the postseason. And how do they determine they're the best? Well, maybe this two-minute report is a way to determine who's the best and who's not. I understand the NBA getting out in front of it, Michael, because if they're going to evaluate their officials in this way, don't you think in some way it's eventually going to come out? Why not get out in front of it? Then to have Woj discover it somewhere that the NBA has a report on all the missed fouls and people will be screaming, well, how come we didn't know about this? How come Woj had to dig it out somewhere? I guess the NBA is just saying, we're not perfect, our officials aren't perfect, and when a mistake is made, we're going to own up to it and say, all right, our bad. And I think everybody realizes you can't go back.
Yeah, that's why.
No matter what.
I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. And I think a lot of people feel this way. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree.
But you know basketball. You covered basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You said before this report came out that you believe Lowry was fouled.
Right.
So why would your opinion change the fact the NBA admitted it? You knew he was fouled.
But
Stephen A. Smith knew he was fouled. Like, you already had your opinion. And then the guy out there that has the opinion that he wasn't fouled isn't going to be swayed by the NBA admitting it. People are going to own what they own. They have eyes. They see. But the one thing that you'll always hear is, oh, there's a conspiracy theory. Like, they really want the Sixers to win. They don't want the Knicks to win. The NBA hates the Knicks. But if you go out there and you admit mistakes were made, that... The transparency, I think, is always a good thing.
Yeah, and the Knicks are still up, and you could say that they shouldn't be. It should be 1-1.
Yeah.
But you would have thought that anyway.
But I would have thought it, but it wouldn't have been confirmed to me.
And so, Don, to just argue again that the transparency is a good thing. At the end of the series, do you really want a team to be able to sit there at the podium and go, what do you want us to say? We were rooked. Right. They admitted we were rooked.
How's that going to look?
Does that work well if a head coach gets up there and goes, well, guys, hard for me to talk about what happened in the series when the officials admitted they got the series wrong, and that cost us everything.
But we always go back to the 85 World Series and the Denkinger call. Everybody knew he was out. Everybody in the world saw that he was out. So if Major League Baseball admitted they screwed up, meanwhile, they don't say anything, so people are like, does Major League Baseball actually think that he was safe? What are they thinking?
But the silence doesn't mean, a rubber stamp. Silence just means silence. They didn't come out and say, no, you got the call right. And also, Don Denkinger is still hated in St. Louis, and they thought they took a World Series away from the Cardinals.
Right.
It's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Mets are in action this afternoon. We'll be monitoring that for you against the Giants.
Trying to avoid
the sweep. Try not to get swept.
And
yeah.
Hang on the rim, Michael. Do yourself, your ego, and our show a favor.
Why?
And why don't you hang on the rim for
about what?
Thing? Blake Snell. Why don't you just hang on the rim?
Blake Snell went on the IL.
I saw.
He called it.
You know what the Giants did? They set fire to $25 million. Why?
Right in front of you.
Why'd they do it?
For no reason.
First of all, the games that he pitched, he was awful. And now he's out with an abductor, which could be months.
The Giants set fire to $25 million and then had a press conference.
And
tell you that we've set fire to $25 million.
The only one that has pitched well or played well after holding out was Jordan Montgomery. And he faced Blake Snell that day.
So somebody
and Blake Snell refused to go to the minors. He didn't do a minor league outing. Jordan Montgomery pitched in the minors.
And in the games he pitched, what was his earn run average? Like 11.54.
And now he's on the IL. You know, it's a bad break for the Mets. He probably had a better chance against him.
Michael's not hanging on he doesn't care about Blake Snell's, he wants him to be healthy. He called this.
You called it.
And I also told people, said the Yankees should get him. No, they shouldn't. They made him an offer at the right time, and they moved
and
on.
And why did you say they shouldn't get him?
Because he wouldn't be ready in time. He'd be a pitcher by May, maybe.
Right. And when he did come back, what would happen?
He'd get hurt.
Bang.
I know the sport. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, why can't Peter? Why can't he?
Why can't I hang on the rim?
He should hang on the rim.
And the Yankees continue their series with the A's at 7:05.
A four-game series against the A's.
That's right. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Before we break, I've got some pretty important stuff to give you. This just became made available to me.
Oh.
And I think that I've got to tell all of our listeners.
Oh.
Here's tonight's Yankee starting
lineup. Oh, my God, this is big.
Brought to you by Bigelow.
I'm not going to listen.
And Serta Pro Painters. Anthony Volpe's going to lead off and play short. Juan Soto in right. Aaron Judge in center. Giancarlo Stanton will clean up in DH. Anthony Rizzo at first. Big home run for him yesterday.
Is that right?
That's right. Gleyber Torres at second. Alex Verdugo on left. Oswaldo Cabrera at third. Austin Wells will catch. And Clark Schmidt.
You know what? I don't know.
Is going to pitch for the Yankees.
No, man.
That was the Yankees starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of the New York Yankees and Serta Pro Painters. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters. We have a very special guest coming into the studio.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to break down some more Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
I think you'll all love him, and he's coming into the studio in just a moment.
A gem.
He is a gem.
A gem of a guy.
Good guy.
Very opinionated, too.
I like that. Well, he's got a future in this business. There you go. Spring in the gear at Bay Ridge Honda, your go-to Honda dealer serving the five boroughs of New York. Drive home one of over 280 new Hondas, plus make no payments for 90 days. Bay Ridge Plus benefits come with every new vehicle and get an extra $1,500 for your trade-in. Shop now in Brooklyn and online at BayRidgeHonda.com. No payments for 90 days with approved credit for well-qualified buyers only. Bay Ridge Plus provided by EFG Companies. See dealer for details, ends 4/30/24. Well, to hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by. You'll get the Michael Kay treatment.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
We're so thrilled that Matthew Welling is joining us here in the studio. He's one of the longest standing and most beloved Garden of Dreams young people. In his 10 plus years of participation with the Garden of Dreams, he's performed in many talent shows, attended games and concerts, been on MSG networks, and much more. Now, Matthew was born with an extremely rare genetic disorder that has caused several life-threatening side effects, has left him legally blind with zero vision in his left eye and minimal vision in his right. But that doesn't stop him. With all the medical challenges that Matthew has faced, he's not only survived, but has completely thrived in life. He remains positive and maintains incredible grades. How about this? He has been accepted to the Newhouse School of Communications at Syracuse.
Whoa, wait.
Where he will be attending.
Nailed it, Mike.
And his primary career objective is to have an impact on the sports world by making his visual impairment and other disabilities more mainstream. So, Matthew, right off the bat, why not Fordham? Why'd you choose Syracuse? I want to know.
Dad wanted me to go far away.
Really?
Kicking me out.
It's all Dad's fault.
Look, I'm not blaming him, but I really love the campus up there. Not to say I wouldn't have loved Fordham, but going up there, really lucky to have gone there where it wasn't downpouring snow and stuff like that. So the campus was beautiful. So really getting a good chance to see what it was.
You can just come right out and say the truth. Newhouse is better than Fordham. Just say it.
Matthew's a nice kid.
They have an impressive mom.
I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be.
You don't have to be.
I'm trying to get my invite back.
No. You're good. Newhouse
is great.
My loan rejection in my college applications.
Smart.
So obviously they make some very good decisions.
Yeah.
Congrats, though. That's an awesome accomplishment.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No, that is awesome. So I know you're a huge Ranger fan, as well as Yankees.
Of course.
Giants and Knicks.
Of course.
Let's talk about yesterday. What was that?
All the originals.
All the originals. Let's talk about the Ranger game yesterday in the series so far. What do you think?
They've played the way they should have been playing. I know yesterday was a very tough game, but they're going to have to play games like that. And I want to know what do we think about how they go from here? Because yes, they played a very tough game, but going to DC, they split the series this season in there. So I want to know everyone's thoughts.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a house of horrors for them. I remember being up there late last year when the Capitals were out of it. They're like, oh, you're going to beat us, 6-2, and then they ended up winning 6-2, the Capitals.
Right.
It's not going to be easy. I don't think anybody expects them to win every series 4-0.
Of course not.
So, but I think tomorrow is the difference between maybe getting in a long, engaging series or finishing them off in 4 or 5. So I think Friday's game is going to be huge.
Yep.
Stay out of the box.
Yeah.
I love Matt Rempe as much as everybody, but if he's going to commit penalties, that's going to be a problem, because if they're going to bring Hedl back, which I think at some point they will,
they should.
Some of the expense of Matt Rempe. So I think Rempe's great, but he's got to stay out of the box. They've got to stay out of the box, because I think that's the only way the Capitals can give the Rangers trouble is on the power play.
Totally. Exactly.
I'm calling nonsense on something Don said, though.
What's that?
What?
He said, I like Rempe as much as everyone else.
No, he doesn't.
He does. No, you don't.
It's just something you say.
Right.
Well, why would you lie?
You like him a little less than because the way the Rangers fans love him.
It's a phrase, but that's too awkward to say. I'm just trying to make the point that, listen, I love him as much as the next guy, but but no, I can't love him as much as the Ranger fans do. They're chanting his name during warm-ups.
No, totally. I mean, I was there. Great to be there on Sunday. I was over there on Sunday. Like, electric. It was bedlam in there. So they were all chanting for him as soon as he got onto the ice. They were chanting for him.
Right, which is unique for a fourth-line player who hasn't accomplished anything yet in this league.
Right.
Is this team good enough to go all the way?
Almost definitely. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, there's the President's Trophy curse, but they have proven time and time again with comebacks and fought-out games just like yesterday that they have the capabilities to do so, even if, let's say they get to the final and they lose. But obviously, we don't want that. We want them to win. So they definitely have the capabilities.
Matthew, that Don makes fun of me because I call it the President's Cup?
Not the President's Trophy.
It's sad.
Yeah.
I say it's not a yacht race.
It's not a yacht race. Yeah, it's not good.
Neither is the President's Cup, it turns out, but whatever. The point remains.
But it's still the point. I don't like
Matthew,
it.
Let me ask you, what championship we have in this moment? We have a Knicks team that could, with the right breaks, end up competing for a championship this year. The Rangers, certainly in the conversation. The Yankees certainly need to find their bats, but they could have a great team this year. Yep. We're talking about a Giants team that could be drafting a quarterback. What championship would mean the most to you as a sports fan?
I think being such a diehard Yankee fan, Michael, as soon as I was born, the first one of the first words Dad sent to me was, "Don Mattingly is your favorite player."
What a good dad!
So
yeah,
I think that is number one for me. I was 2009. I was 3.
Yeah, that's,
or
a,
4.
That's a bit young.
So
to appreciate it.
I mean, I've sat through all those playoff games. I think the Yankees are something that would hit home closer.
I want to ask you a little bit about your vision.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I've been a little vision obsessed recently because I just got glasses for the first time at 44 years old. So I've been like talking a lot about it, right? And it makes me think about it from through a different lens,
right.
Pun intended. So obviously, one eye, as Michael said, you don't have any vision. You have limited vision in the other eye.
Correct.
How can you describe what your vision is like?
So it's very minimal. I don't really have peripheral. It's just everything's close. And so like when I'm at school, I'm doing everything enlarged and everything's close up. So I'm
are you able to take in a hockey game and see what's happening?
So
how much can you take in?
So I'll tell you. So most of the times, even how expensive they are, we try to get seats in the wheelchair section. They have the TVs up there. So that is the closest that I can interact fully with the hockey games. I mean, I know a normal fan, it's hard for them to see the puck and know where it's going. But for me, either way, I'm just there for the experience. And
but can you take it in on television decently?
Yes. Oh no, totally. I mean, 2 feet away from the TV.
You can. So as long as you're up close,
yeah,
you can still take
totally
in things in, with some sight.
Totally.
And if not, you always get to hear the sweet sounds of Don LaGreca
of
when
course
he's calling the Rangers.
Of course.
Which you'll be doing this weekend, Donnie Pugs.
Yes, I will.
So when you're looking at Peter now, right, you could tell he's not that great looking, right?
Again, I'm trying to be nice and get invited. I'm trying to get invited back, so I'm not going to say anything.
Very good.
Calling political as well.
Not going to stop you.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. It'll probably make more likely for you to come back. Don't worry.
Now we have a little surprise for you, which I don't think you have any. I hope you don't have any idea about.
I have
about
no idea what's about to happen.
So can we bring in the little surprise that we have?
Is this why the strippers were in the hallway?
No, these are strippers.
Oh, sorry.
Wait,
sorry.
A minute.
Sorry.
That's terrible.
So Matthew, the Garden of Dreams Foundation, and why don't we bring it here so the camera can see
it,
has a check for you.
Oh my gosh.
For $60,000 to go toward your education at Syracuse.
Oh my gosh.
And by the way, for those listening, it's the big Price is Right style check. This is the big daddy. $60,000.
$60,000, Matthew, will probably get you halfway through your first year.
Exactly.
isn't that great?
I'm speechless. No, the Garden of Dreams has been so great to me, and every opportunity that I get to have, I take for granted, and I'm just so appreciative, and I'm very thankful.
I think you're at a loss for words here, man.
I am very at a loss for
words.
Look at
that. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Now, students that who have received this scholarship have attended Harvard, NYU, Columbia, Syracuse, Baruch, Howard, and Spelman, to name a few. 145 total students have been awarded the Garden of Dreams Inspire Scholarship since 2015. The Garden of Dreams does unbelievable work.
They really
and
do.
For them to do this,
yes, they do.
It is so incredible and kind, and I think they've made an investment in really a great young man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I think
we've all been blown away from the second you showed up, man. So well deserved.
Thank you. Guys.
We're so glad we got to share this with you.
No, of course. Appreciate for you guys being a part of this.
And
this
I can't wait
great
to work with you one day.
No,
it's
going to take your job.
I'm not saying anything either. Not saying that either.
Here's my advice, and I'm always a little off center.
Of course.
Dad's going to pay for the school anyway. Use this for dates. Take women out. Yeah,
60 grand.
There you
go. That's a lot of dates. He's going to do very well.
And if he was you, Michael, he wouldn't even be interested in a date until he was in grad school.
That's right. And I heard the big place at Syracuse is the Varsity.
Of course. So had that. Of course,
60
I had
grand.
That.
That's a lot of fries and burgers and pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Very cool. Now I don't know if we could take. Can he take that to an ATM? It's a little too big.
No,
the check.
That is just a symbolic gesture.
Is that 3.5 feet long?
Yeah.
And about a foot and a half.
Well, I don't
tall
know.
This isn't Happy Gilmore.
I'm about to say Happy Gilmore. You can pile them in the back seat of your car and take them to the bank at the end.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I love the fact that you were totally taken off guard.
Totally. No, completely. Yeah. Completely. I'm like, oh, we're going to talk Rangers and have some sports.
Yeah, so how did they sell this? How did they sell this to you? Because we were told 80 times, don't blow the secret. I mean, Don, you think that they think we're stupid because
they
want us to pay back, make sure we pay people back for coffee. They maybe told us 150 times, don't congratulate him when he walks in the door.
Do you know that John Winthrop or Pinhead PD? I was here early, and he told me again, and I snapped at him. I said, that's 20 times.
I know.
Am I a moron?
It made me, by the way, in the amount of times he told me put me so on edge.
Right.
The whole time, I was trying to enjoy a wonderful conversation.
There were so many times that we wanted to tell you.
No, of course.
Just to spite them.
Right. No, obviously, I have my speculations, but obviously, that's not my main focus here, is to just come in here and have a good time. So I'm completely brought off guard.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm glad that you got to give us your Ranger take, but more happy that you got the $60,000 check.
Big shout out to the Garden of Dreams. What an awesome
Garden of Dreams does unbelievable work. You know who's smiling the most? Dad. He's saying, wow, that's $60,000 less than I have to pay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Matthew, best of luck.
Thank
Keep in touch with us, all right?
Thank you, guys, of course.
Yeah, that's so great. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and now I'm even verklempt.
Are you verklempt?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Haven't heard that in a while.
There you go. You haven't watched an old episode of SNL in a while? All right. Well, now I'm going to show you what they're going to teach you in Newhouse, how you do a flawless read from my good friend.
Oh, wow.
This is
what
they can't teach you this.
Learn from Peter? Is that
what
they're
really
telling
me? Be embarrassing.
60 grand ain't enough to learn this.
It would really be embarrassing if you made a mistake.
I am so praying that you stumbled.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to stare at him.
All right. Stare right at me. All right. The road to the NBA Finals starts now. And new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. All you got to do is place any $5 bet, and you get $150 in bonus bets, Matthew. You hear me? Win or lose to use during the NBA playoffs. So, for example, you could bet on made three-pointers in the Heat-Celtics games. Maybe you want to go Jason Tatum threes or over-under point totals for Tatum and Brown. First basket score and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Peter to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The second annual DPH on Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd. Brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life with Montauk Brewing Company, maker of New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA, Wave Chaser IPA, a highly approachable brew that is packed tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave. And by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please, Zing Zang, responsibly.
I'm not a tomato guy, so I wouldn't have a Bloody Mary, but it does look interesting.
I've never had an interest in a Bloody Mary. Just don't get it. Tomato juice just doesn't do it for me. I mean, no. I can kind of see how it could be appealing, but I just don't like tomato juice. That's the thing. You hear me?
Tomato soup.
I don't either.
Of course.
I've never had a tomato.
Boy, you missed it. It's too bad you wouldn't have eaten any of the food Natalie made for Pesach anyway, but boy, did she kill it.
But if I were to have a Bloody Mary, Zing Zang.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Not even a decision to be made, Don.
Let's go to the phones. Bobby in Monticello. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You always got it.
Okay, so the last game, Maxey and Embiid made up 70% of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Robinson and McBride should play a more prominent role. And if you could get that down to, say, 50%, I would like my chances of winning the game.
Well, even at 70%, you won the game. Yeah, I don't think you're going to stop. Those are the kind of guys that are going to get their points, and you have to stop everybody else. Remember, in the play-in game, Nicholas Batum destroyed the Heat. The Knicks have stopped him from doing that. So if you stop everybody else, doesn't matter if they both get 70 points. Doesn't matter. They got a lot of points in the first game, too, and they lost. I mean, you just got to pick your poison. Let them score their points, but you've got to hold down everybody else, and that's exactly what they did. Mm-hmm. Charlie in Queens. Charlie?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Peter, happy Passover.
Thanks, friend.
And I just want to talk about the Yankees. They started, Michael, maybe you can help you, because you covered them. They started off 12-3, okay? Mm-hmm. And they were doing well, even with Torres not hitting, and he was leading off. Volpe was doing great in the seventh spot. And since Boone switched them around, they're not the same team that they were. I don't understand why you would fix something that isn't broken. They were 12-3. They had the best
record.
Were they
12-3?
Even Torres went 0-90, they were winning. And also, I also want to comment on John Sterling, get your opinion on the John Sterling day.
Okay.
Usually, the Yankees used to give away cars and things like that. Because John Sterling, after 36 years, they only gave him a television set, which to me, I don't know, to me, it didn't seem like that much of a tribute to a man who's been a legend for the Yankees all that time. I just like to get your opinion.
Well, first of all, I can't speak to what the Yankees did. All I know is that they had 4 days to put it together. So I think that he will be honored in a more extensive way, maybe somewhere down the line. But that was 4 days in the making. I thought they did an unbelievable job. As for the offense, Charlie, listen, they were 12-3, but they weren't scoring then either. All four games against Houston, they had to come back at the end. Mm-hmm. Even yesterday, they won 4-3. They scored in the first inning. They didn't score after that. So you've got to try different things. And they look at Anthony Volpe as a guy who's going to be a leadoff hitter for most of his career. And he started off hitting 400. Gleyber Torres wasn't hitting. So they moved Anthony Volpe to the top of the order. And they kept winning after that, too. So you can't say that it's cause and effect. But Gleyber Torres is not hitting. Somebody has to get on base in front of Juan Soto. So they thought that Anthony would be the guy. Now, if Anthony continues to struggle, you know what? They'll make another change. You don't sit back and be static.
See, the fans have the luxury of looking back and saying, well, that's a win. That's a loss. And that ultimately is the judge of the quality of what you're doing. But don't the Yankees have to dig a little deeper and say, yeah, we're winning games, but is it sustainable the way the offense is right now? Let's try to shake it up. You want to try to get out in front of this. You don't wait till all of a sudden you lose 5-6 in a row and say, now we got to make a change. I don't think you're swayed by the wins. You're swayed by what you believe this team is capable of doing. And then you look at the beginning of the season, Michael, they caught Houston at the right time. Houston's really struggled to start the season. I think they took advantage of the Diamondbacks when they played them. You just can't be pedestrian and just say, oh, we won the game, so nothing else matters. You've got to dig deeper. There's got to be different ways to get information than just the wins and losses.
Chris and Cape May. Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to tell you that young man you had on, that was really terrific, and it kind of hit home for me. My mother, she's gone now, but she was at 17, she lost an eye to glaucoma, and her vision in her other eye was, by the time she passed away, was next to nothing. And she was a huge Yankee fan, and she was a huge fan of yours, Michael. She, even though she couldn't see, she refused to listen to the games on the radio. She would listen to them. She would listen to them on the TV. And she once said something to me. She said, Chris, I couldn't ask for a better son than you, but I bet you that Michael Kay is pretty good to his mom, too.
Wow.
That's a true story. I swear to God, that's a true story.
That is so that's really sweet.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's important, like, as an announcer, I mean, everybody's not visually impaired when they're, you know, listening to the television, but, I mean, the more detail you can throw in there, it's really important to a lot of people with issues like that, you know? It's a lot more enjoyable for them to watch the team. I mean, she grew up a Dodger fan, and when they bolted, that she became a Yankee fan, you know, right around that time when they left. So again, I just wanted to thank you for having that kid on, and it brought back some memories for me, and I just wanted to share that story with you.
Thank you. That's a great story, Chris. Awesome. And, you know, that's always a very delicate balance when you're doing television. Because you know that there are people that are visually impaired that are watching, but like 99% of the people that are watching are not visually impaired. Now, when I became a radio broadcaster, Mel Allen told me, make believe that no one can see. And on radio, they can't. So you have to be their eyes. You describe everything. So there's certain descriptive phrases you could do in TV, but again, it's a real thin line that you have to straddle whether you're too descriptive. If you do, then they say, well, he's doing too much of a radio play-by-play.
I never understood that critique. What's wrong with a little extra information?
Right? Well, I remember when I got the job, Flip told me, you know, my I guess, catchphrase on radio was I described the uniforms in detail. He said, well, you can't describe the uniforms anymore. I said, why? He said, because we see them. So it's not like
not everybody can.
But again, how...
All right, but how does it irritate the person that can see it?
Everything irritates people.
It's a fair point, but that everything irritates them anyway.
You know, that's also a fair point.
Thank you. my voice.
Well, you know what? You better get it back because you got to tell us about BetterHelp.
Well, you know what, Michael? I'm not going to tell you about BetterHelp, but I will tell you about BetterHelp. This message is brought to you by BetterHelp. All right. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? Are you bursting with energy? My energy level's decent, but it could be better. And that's why it's very helpful to have therapy. Because in therapy, you can work on some of the things that have been stressing you out. Whatever's been bringing you down, bringing stress to your life. You know, therapy is so useful for so many different things, whether it's coping mechanisms or boundary setting, self-empowerment, and energizing that social battery. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, which I strongly recommend, give BetterHelp a try. It's online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. It's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.